All right, so just a quick recap of last week's class. Can everyone kind of, I'll try to use colors that everyone can see in the back. So let's see if Brianna can see this. She usually can't see my board. Okay, so can you see this, Brianna? Yes, sweet. All right. So prophecy. We had talked about prophecy in various passages. We started off with Genesis. What did we see the role of a prophet was with regards to Abraham? Praying. Perfect. Okay, what else did we see? So we went to, we saw Exodus. What did we see in Exodus was happening with the prophets?
Speaks.
Okay. Speaks one.
Words
of
God, Moses, and Aaron.
Speaks words of someone, but you're right. So there was God. God spoke to Moses. Moses gave his word to Aaron, and Aaron to Pharaoh. What else did we see? Good. Singing. Where did we see that? Yeah, Miriam, Exodus with Miriam. Sing. But what do they sing? Yeah, they sang. They sang words that the prophet had spoken, right?
I wrote down all information.
Yes. Yes.
Can you move that just 2 inches to the left?
Yes. Is that better? it was an earthquake and the whiteboard was vibrating. Okay. Is that okay? Is that all right, so we also went to Numbers. What was happening in Numbers? Numbers 11. And then what happened with regards to prophecy? Not just any people. Which people?
Elders.
The elders. Okay. So you have elders. What do? They prophesied and then they?
They did not add to it,
right? It says they did not continue. So this one was the elders of Numbers 11. So the question is, were they doing this kind of prophesying or were they doing this kind of prophesying? That's the question. And we'll find out now as we get to Deuteronomy. Any questions before we move forward? No? All right. So Deuteronomy chapter 13, I'm going to read verse 1 to 6. Who's got that? All right, Julie.
A prophet or a
oh, you need to be louder. Because I have stuff in my ears.
Okay. Yeah. If a prophet or dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you pass, and if he says, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them, then you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has taught rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of slavery to make you lead the way
All right. Did we get to verse 6?
If you're a brother, the son of your mother, or your son, or your daughter, or your wife that you embrace, or your friend, who is as your own soul, entices you secretly, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, some of the gods of peoples who are around you. Seven.
Yeah, you can go seven. You can do seven.
Okay, the sentence ends way down in 9.
Yeah, ends in 8. Go all the way to 8.
Some of the gods of the peoples who are around you, whether near you or far off from you, from the one end of the earth to the other.
Read 8 as well.
You shall not yield to him or listen to him, nor shall your eye pity him, nor shall you spare him.
But you shall kill him, right?
But you shall kill him.
All right. Now, when Moses wrote Deuteronomy and he spoke these sermons, you know, they didn't have chapters and verses, right? So what was the verse preceding 13 verse 1?
Everything that I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to it or take away.
You should not add to it or take away from it. And then it says, if a prophet or a dreamer of dream arises from amongst you about the false prophet. So he says, don't add to what I've already commanded you and don't take away from it. And then here's how you know who a
prophet is.
False prophet is. Now you know who a false prophet is. So if you see this, what do the elders do? They prophesied and they did not. They did not add to it. What could he be referencing? He could be referencing the last verse of chapter 12. Meaning, what do? They spoke what Moses had spoken, and they did not act as false prophets. Right? So they were true prophets. But what were they doing? It looks like the text is hinting that these guys were acting like Aaron. Why? Because Moses needs help. Moses needs someone that'll help him judge the people, that'll help determine cases, that'll help direct them according to God's word. How are they supposed to direct people? According to which word? Yeah, but how do they get God's word? Yeah, Moses' words, right? Moses' words are God's words. And so the 70 or 72 elders should be able to speak whose words? God's words that God gave to Moses, and not add to it. Does that make sense? And not add to it. So how can he be sure that they're going to be rulers that rule justly according to God's word? They should be able to speak God's word as God gave it to Moses without adding to it. Does that make sense? So how do the 70 or 72 elders function in Numbers 11? I think they functioned in this way. And I think the text is hinting to us that they functioned that way by using that little phrase, and they did not add to it, which our Bibles translate as, and they didn't continue. Right?
Which makes a lot of sense in an oral culture where they have written, like Moses is writing this down.
Live. Exactly.
And then making copies and giving it.
Correct.
So the people have to know what God has given him.
Exactly. You're exactly right. And we're going to see this as we go on. We're actually going to see this as we go on. Very good point. And we have to note what Jeremy actually said, because as we go on, we're going to see some issues happening. Now, what else is happening over here? What else is happening is that he's giving one of the standards of a prophet, right? One of the standards of a prophet is that... So, remember how he spoke with Miriam and Aaron? They were complaining. Mm-hmm. Has God spoken only to you? He's also spoken to us. And then he says, well, when I do speak to a prophet, I speak to them with? Crickets. With crickets. What? Dreams and visions. I speak to them, but it is not so with Moses. I speak with him face to face, and he has seen my form. Now, chapter 13, verse 1 talks about a prophet or dreamer of dreams arises amongst you. What is that? Someone who claims that God has spoken directly to them. And what else do they do? No. Verse 1. What else are they doing?
Give them a sign.
So they give a sign. So they claim that God has spoken, and they give a sign or a wonder. So are miracles proof that God has spoken to someone? Not necessarily. There are two things that have to be measured, right? The second one is what? What's the check? What's the second check mark?
The sign or wonder that he tells you has to come to pass.
Oh, it came to pass. Now it does come to pass in verse 2. Are they still a true prophet? No. So they do a sign, they do something miraculous or actually say something, and it does come to pass. People will ask, well, they also must be sent from God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, they've done this miracle, they also must be sent from God. What's the true test of a prophet? Let's keep going. No. Just let's read. And if he says, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them. What are other gods that you have not known, and let us serve them? It could be false gods, but also could be someone lying about Yahweh. Someone lying about Yahweh. False teachers, right? So what is the true test? How are they supposed to, like these guys, supposed to know whether someone is pointing them to the true God or the false God?
So it has to link together with the, it has to come true and has to not be something other.
Over here, it doesn't say it has to come true. Over here, there's only one test in chapter 13. What is the test?
The teaching has to agree with the previous.
But what is the previous though, over here? Someone said it. Yeah, Moses. Moses is the only plumb line for a prophet, according to Deuteronomy chapter 13, right? So what is the plumb line of a true prophet? Do they agree about God, what Moses has said about God? Does that make sense? Do they agree what God, what Moses? So what we're going to see, and this we've seen this already demonstrated with tongues and with healing, where do we usually start when we start asking, what does the Bible have to say about it? You start with Moses. You start with Moses. You start with Moses because Moses is the plumb line. Someone can't be saying something completely like, whoa, we never saw this coming. So if you think about eschatology, guess who first talked about future things? Moses. When they talk about the coming of Christ and what he's going to be like, who first talked about it?
Moses.
When you talk about the exile, who first talked about it? Moses. When they talk about all the things that are happening during the time of Samuel and the kings, who first spoke about it? Moses. Moses set up the ground rules. In fact, when people pray in the Bible, they go back to saying, Lord, you talked about this in the covenants. You told us about these things, and yet we disobeyed you. We saw your wondrous works, and we heard what you had to say, and now you're working with us according to what you had said in your covenants. And so the playing out of the rest of the story from Joshua to 2 Kings, everything you see in the wisdom books, everything you see in the prophets, in the gospels, all has a foundation on Moses. And so if someone claims to say something, even if they do the most miraculous things, and they predict the future with precision, but they don't line up with Moses, they are a false prophet. Okay, so the first thing is, they have to align with Moses. Okay. Then there's the second test. And so that's chapter 18.
Jerry,
yes?
Real quick on that. It's like you said, it's not just, hey, let's go worship Molech or Adramelech or these other gods, but hey, let's make a golden calf and worship Yahweh that way.
Correct.
So it's not only worshiping other gods, it's changing the worship of the true God.
In fact, when you get to the end of 1 John, John concludes what he's saying. So people are rejecting that Jesus is the Christ. They're rejecting that Jesus is the one that was supposed to come and that he has come in the flesh. And you know how John finishes 1 John? He says, my little children, keep yourselves from idols. Who are the idols? The idols are a God that has not sent Jesus Christ, a God that says you don't have to confess your sins, a God that says you don't need Jesus Christ, the advocate and the propitiation for your sin. Do Jews believe in a God like that? Yes, they do. Is that an idol? The Apostle John says, yes, that's an idol. Any version of Yahweh that does not acknowledge Jesus Christ is an idol. Right? So you're absolutely right. It doesn't have to be as drastic as Molech. It could be a false version of the true God. Yes?
Two things. One, I guess you can see today that will come out sometimes too, quite often, as just you look at one attribute and ignore the other. God is love, and we forget about the rest, and we kind of embellish on those, but don't worry about it. That's kind of how it would rear its head today. But the other thing I was thinking is you've got God, Moses, Aaron. That's also today we would face it on what we have here. We have Moses' word here, so it should be with Moses and all the people under him, because they're based on lining up
with Moses. Exactly.
You have so much going back, even in the New Testament, going back to the books of Moses.
Yeah, if you believe Moses, you'd believe me. Jesus said that to the Pharisees, right? Because Moses spoke about me. I don't condemn you. Who condemns you? What does he say? Moses condemns you. Why? Because Moses spoke about me, right? So you're right. You're absolutely right. Deuteronomy 18, again, another standard of the prophet. But this is interesting. So we're going to go from verse 15 to verse 22.
The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desire of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you say, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And whoever will not listen to my words that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require of him. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name that I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that same prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how may you know the word that the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the word does not come to pass or come true, that is a word that the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken presumptuously. You need not be afraid of him.
Yeah, perfect. So Brenda asked me a good question when we came in. She said, Jerry, is this passage speaking about one person or all the other prophets? That's a good question. What do you guys think? Verse 13 to 22. Brenda says both.
The first part speaking about one person.
All of them speaks to about this. Again, the prophet, right, who does not speak in my name. So that's also a singular. Or when any prophet? Yeah, 15 to 22. Is it one person or is it multiple people?
In the end, when a prophet, so it's referring to any prophet.
Okay.
Speaks in the name of the Lord.
Okay, what about verse 19? Whoever will not listen to my word that he shall speak in my name, I myself will require it of him. So if Isaiah spoke and they didn't listen, would that have been okay?
That's not speaking.
I know, but I'm saying, would it have been okay? But if Jeremiah spoke and they didn't listen, would that have been okay?
Yeah, because it's only better if they didn't listen.
I know, but this passage, who's it talking about?
So from verses 15 through 19, it appears that speaking about one prophet.
Okay.
And in verse 20, the idea of other or subsequent prophets come in, because those would be the ones that would speak in error, would speak lies.
I know, but should people listen to the other prophets that come in between Moses and the second Moses?
Sure.
Yeah, they should, right?
It's so,
how do they? How do we put these pieces together? Does this apply to only Jesus, or does this apply to all the prophets from Moses to Jesus?
The subtitle here says
"the prophet." Oh, that's
someone's opinion.
That's the translators. They add the subtitles. Yeah. The translators and the publishers. So if you go from to a different Bible, they may have a different subtitle. Yeah. So.
Aaron was supposed to obey Aaron when Aaron gave him.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Why wouldn't people be expected to obey Isaiah or Jeremiah? Or
yep, you're absolutely right. I think the answer is that it is speaking about Jesus. However, Jesus forms kind of the outline or the template of what a prophet ought to be. And every prophet that comes from Moses to Jesus has to meet the same criteria. That means they have to speak according to God's word. They have to, what they say has to come to pass. And they have to be from where? From among the brothers, right? And so the criteria for the prophets seems to not just be for the final prophet, Jesus Christ. And he's not the final one, but he is like the ultimate, right? The second Moses that's going to come, the one who will speak with God face to face and behold the form of God, as John chapter 1 says. No one has seen him, the only true God, except the only true God. And so Deuteronomy 18 puts together our second test, which is, the prophet should say something that comes to pass. Now, are there things that the prophets have said that have not come to pass? Definitely, right? There are prophecies way into the future that have not come to pass. However, we see, for example, the prophet Isaiah. He did talk about Hezekiah, for example. So Hezekiah had said, "Can I have a sign?" Isaiah prays to the Lord, and then the sun goes back 10 steps. And so they demonstrate through what they're saying that two things. One, some of at least what they say comes true. And second, what they're saying aligns with Moses. Right? I'm pretty sure that not everything all the prophets have said have come to pass yet. And so this has to be interpreted in light of that. Which is, it can't be every word. It has to be some portion of it. Well, some portion of it has to be future. Any comments on that? Any?
Well, some prophecies could be discredited because they have a time element to them.
Correct.
So if Isaiah's prophesying about Cyrus, and then Cyrus comes along and doesn't do what Isaiah says he's going to do, that would discredit.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
The other ones that don't give a time element, and so they're...
Yeah, so good qualifier. Very good qualifier. So those that have a time element and those that actually say they have to come to pass. For example, Daniel prophesied about things that are going to happen 283 years afterwards, right? Well, Daniel's dead by then. And so you can't wait until, 283 years. Sorry, 483 years. My apologies. 483 years. For Daniel to, hang around and then say, well, yeah, what you were saying is right. Or no, what you're saying is wrong. Let's kill you now. Right? So there are two criteria, though. One is what they're saying should align with Moses. And second, I think that's a good qualifier, Jeremy. Those things that they're saying will come to pass, at least in their lifetime or with regards to time, has to come to pass. That is what they're saying is wrong.
We also learned last year when we did the study of the prophets in the midweek that in some of these passages, like Isaiah and some of the prophets, some there was an era far, so some within the passage were already being fulfilled or had been fulfilled, and some.
Yeah, but you still have to account for the far. We have to right. We have to account for the far.
So, which is really ultimately what you're saying?
Yes.
Come to pass.
Yes. So the near fulfillment is almost a down payment to validate the prophet, okay, that what the prophet is saying about the far, okay, will come to pass, and you have to take the prophet seriously. All right, so this is important. I think one more thing that's important about prophecy is that the prophet should come from the brothers. Who are the brothers in this case?
Israel.
It has to be Israel. It's not Edom, right? It's not Ammon. It's not Moab. It's not Midian. It definitely has to be children of Jacob. Does that make sense? It has to be from the 12 tribes. All right. As we're building this, let's move on to the next passage. The next passage is... if someone could read Deuteronomy 33, verse 1, who's got that? And then someone get Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. Deuteronomy 33, verse 1, and Deuteronomy 34, verse 10.
33.
Okay, who's got 34?
I do.
Okay, perfect.
This is the blessing with which Moses, the man of God, blessed the people of Israel before his death.
Perfect. So you see that title, man of God? That's another one to look for, right? So, man of God. Not everyone has the title man of God. And when you start studying man of God, you're going to see a certain pattern emerge. Do you want me to spoil it, or do you guys want to study this yourself? Spoil it. Once there's only a little bit to spoil. You're going to see that a lot of the man of God passages map to this character. This kind of prophecy, not this kind. So the next man of God you're going to see is Samuel. And we're going to take a look at that. He's the next man of God that's going to be mentioned. Okay? And what about 34?
And there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face.
Excellent. And so what the book is saying is that there is a high bar. There are many prophets that have arisen, but none like Moses. What was the thing that Moses could do that the other prophets couldn't?
See God's face.
Whom? Look at the subject of the verb. What's the subject of the verb, though? Who's doing the knowing?
Yahweh.
Whom Yahweh knew face to face. It's not a prophet. It's not the prophet that could, by their own effort, know Yahweh face to face. But what does Yahweh choose to do? He chooses to know the prophet in this way. So he has not chosen any other prophet since Moses to have this kind of a relationship, a face-to-face type of relationship, until the next Moses comes along. Right? So when Jesus appears on the scene and he says what he says, I do the works that I see my Father doing. I only say the words that my Father has given me. What is he actually saying? That he has a face-to-face relationship with the Father, with Yahweh. This is the only man that has arisen since Moses that God knows face-to-face. Yes?
So maybe I'm jumping ahead of this question, but some change the nature of prophecy after the prophets afterward are to speak the words of Christ or the words of Moses?
That's New Testament. You have to come back in 2025. But
future fulfillment.
Yeah, that might be, that's where I'm thinking. I think a study of John is going to give us a very similar structure to this, about who gets God's words, who he gives his words to, and what those people are supposed to do with the words. Trace the word in John. It's a very interesting study. Not just word singular, but words plural. Okay? Now, the next one. is an interesting one. Judges chapter 4. Who do you think this is about? Judges chapter 4.
Deborah,
excellent. Judges chapter 4. Let's read verse 4.
Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Machadon, was judging Israel at that time.
All right. Is it okay if I erase this? All right. So it talks about Deborah. If someone could read, could you read like the next two verses, maybe?
She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of the Philistines. And the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinadab, from
Oh yeah, okay, we can stop there. What is the description of this person, first of all? What's the description? What's the description of Deborah?
Prophetess.
Okay, yes. Perfect. Very good observation. Now, in Hebrew, it's not prophetess. It is a woman prophetess. Not a woman prophet. A woman prophetess. Interesting. Because the prophetess would imply she's a woman. Right? And then what's the second description? A wife. Okay. What's happening in the story?
She was judging Israel at the time.
Okay, so her role as a prophetess was to judge. Her role was to judge. What were the judges supposed to do in Judges? If you read the beginning of Judges, you're going to understand what the role of the judges were. What are the judges supposed to do in Judges? Excellent. Save or deliver the people from whom? Okay, that's one. What's the second one? It's a frameworks class, that's why I'm not reading all the passages. But this is in chapter 1 and 2. What else are they supposed to do? Well, what else did they do?
They returned to God.
Yeah. And as long as the judge was alive, what happened?
They were faithful.
The people were faithful. So what do you think the judge was doing?
Judging whether they were faithful?
Well, they can't judge whether they're faithful. The judge was... Okay, admonishing, leading. What are those words connect to? Shepherding. Right? So there are deliverers and there are shepherds. As long as they're alive, the people would be faithful. And as soon as the judge died, what would happen? They'd return to their sin and the cycle starts all over again. Okay? What is... happening in this story? What's going on over here? If you read Judges 4.
Deborah calls Barak to lead Israel.
Before that.
She sits under this palm tree.
Uh-huh. And?
The people of Israel come to her.
Uh-huh. What does that mean? No. Think through some of the things we talked about today. Sorry? Okay. Who was supposed to do that? Well, other than the prophets. Other than the prophets, who was supposed to do that? We saw that already.
The elders.
The elders, exactly. Remember the elders? They were supposed to be the judges, the ones that were set over the tribes. Remember that? And what are they supposed to do? They're supposed to repeat the words of Moses. They're supposed to shepherd them. Right? And then who mediates God's presence? Who mediates God's presence at this time?
Deborah.
Yeah, the priests, right? The priests mediate God's presence. The priests have to mediate God's presence, and the elders have to shepherd. Where are the priests? No sign of them, right? Where are the elders? No sign of them. Do you see what the narrator is doing by calling out three indicators that there's a woman doing this? That's exactly right. She's not bad, but she's filling in where what a man is for what a man is supposed to be doing. Do you see what's happening? Others, this is the narrator winking at the reader. The narrator could have just said this was a prophetess, right? Why does the narrator have to say a woman, a prophetess, who's a wife of like some no-name guy that we really don't even know about? Right? Do you know who Deborah's husband is?
I don't even. Other than his name?
We don't know, right? We don't know. So the narrator is actually communicating something. Narrators don't tell you. Narrators show you. When you read narratives, they won't always tell you. They show you. Right? That's what stories do. And so this story is going back to doing a few things. Now, who was the original judge of Israel? How do you know that?
Because people used to come to him and he would judge the cases that they brought before.
Exactly. You know the first question that they asked Moses? Who made you a prince or a judge over us? Remember that? He told both the Hebrew guys, he's like, brothers, stop fighting with each other. Like, hey, weren't you the guy that just killed that Egyptian the other day? Who made you a prince or a judge over us? So that's Exodus chapter 2, verse 14. And then you're right, Exodus 18, Moses sat to judge the people. Moses sat, and the people came to Moses. Deborah sits, and the people come to Deborah, right? Then Exodus 18, verse 26, that's when Moses appoints elders to judge. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 16. Deuteronomy chapter 1, 16. Who has that? Not all at once, please don't fight. I can't be a judge between you. Okay, Deuteronomy 1:16. Who's got that?
And I charged your judges at that time, hear the cases between your brothers, and judge righteously between a man and his brother, or the alien who is with him.
Perfect. 16 verse 18. Deuteronomy 16:18.
You shall appoint judges and officers and elders in the office of the Lord, that the Lord your God has given you according to your tribe, and they shall judge.
Excellent. Why are the judges supposed to judge? And wait, how are the judges supposed to judge with righteous judgment? How are they supposed to judge with righteous judgment?
Because they come from God, so they're God indeed.
Okay, so like when someone gives something, they're like, wait a second, let me go. They go to the back room. They go into a seance. God says, that guy's the culprit. And then they come out and then they're like, okay, you're the bad guy. You're the good guy. I've judged. How are they supposed to know?
According to the law, but most.
Yes. God's laws have shown them God's character. And then even within the laws, there are case laws. This thing happens, Moses. What am I supposed to do? So they can actually see how Moses takes the commandments and the laws and shows application for each of those in the lives of the people. Now, people, these elders are supposed to know the law so they know how to apply the law in the case of judgment. Does that make sense? So when the 70 elders were prophesying, Joshua was mad because he saw two people, Eldad and Medad, prophesying inside the camp. And he went to Joshua, he went to Moses, and he said, Moses, those guys are prophesying. They're not supposed to prophesy. Only you're supposed to prophesy. Remember what Moses said?
Oh, something about why would you deter them when...
Yeah, I would that all God's people are prophets. Why? Because all God's people would know the law. And all God's people would be able to conduct themselves according to the law. And all God's people would be able to live out the law. And Moses in Deuteronomy says, guys, I know that you can't do these things. You know why? Because in order to do these things, you need to have a... What do you need to have in order to do the things of the law? A circumcised heart. Deuteronomy 30. You need to have a circumcised heart. And so, the prophets later on, as Israel is in sin, the prophets say there is coming a time when God will pour his spirit out on the people of Israel, and God's laws will be written on their hearts. And guess what will happen? They will all be prophets. The young men and young women will see visions and will prophesy. Why? Because God's law will be upon their hearts. And Moses says, oh, how I long that all of God's people would be prophets. Why? Because then God's law will be upon their heart.
So when you say that, you mean saved.
Yeah, you need to have a circumcised heart, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Good clarification.
Yeah.
Circumcised heart is a regenerated heart. A circumcised heart is a regenerated heart. And so what's happening here with Deborah is it's the opposite of what Moses had hoped for. None of God's people are prophet except a woman prophetess who's a wife. Do you see the indictment? The elders are not able to shepherd, and the people of God, the priests of God, are not able to mediate the presence of God. And so when people want judgment, they come all the way here. There's a second issue. She talks to Barak, right? What does she say to Barak? Perfect. You know when she says, the Lord has commanded?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the right translation of the text. Okay. You know what it says? It says, has the Lord not commanded? You know what the difference is? That the Lord had already commanded Barak to do something. And he had not done it. And so what is she telling Barak? She's just reminding him. Has the Lord not already commanded you to do it? And you know what he says? Yeah, I'm going to do it, but what? Who says something like that? You got to come with me. Someone else says something like that, right? Yeah. Moses and Aaron. Moses says it. Lord, if you don't go with us, right? He says this in Exodus chapter, I don't have it here. He says it, Exodus chapter 33, verse 14 to 16. Exodus 33, verse 14 to 16. He tells God, unless you come with us, we're not going to go. So what's Barak doing over here? Who's God's representative for Barak?
Deborah.
Is Deborah supposed to be God's representative? No. If Barak is being called to go out, he could either tell God, because he's supposed to be a shepherd, or he could even tell a priest, but not Deborah. So what's happening over here? There's an indictment. But what does she do anyway as a function? As a function, all she does is she reminds Barak of what God had already told Barak and says, Barak, since you don't want to go out on your own and obey God, you know what God is going to do? God is going to bring deliverance, but he's going to bring it through the hand of a woman. Okay? Now, women are not bad. women are not bad. She does an excellent job over there. In fact, she fulfills a type of the prophecy of Genesis chapter 3. What does she do? She crushes the head of the enemy. Does she not do that? Yes? She crushes the head of the enemy, right? And so you see what's happening is an indictment against what the men are doing over there. But as a prophetess, does she do the Moses kind of prophecy or the Aaron kind of prophecy? Mainly the Aaron kind of prophecy, but there is some Moses prophecy too, which is God is going to deliver Israel through a woman, right? But it's very specific to Barak. And so there are two other categories that we have to look out for now with regards to prophecy. Is it specific or is it to Israel? What kind of prophet are they? That's the other thing to look out for, and categories. Are they speaking prophecy specifically to a certain person? So some prophets, we see through the stories, just speak specifically to a certain person, and that's it. But there are other prophets that speak widely to the kings or the priests or the people, right? And so that's the other question you have to ask when you see a prophet. So are they what kind of prophet are they? What type of prophecy do they have, and how are they delivering it? Is it through song? Is it through just declaring the word of God? Yes.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I was just curious. thanks. You know, she says that the victory or the deliverance will come through the hand of the woman. But is that her or is
no.
that Jael?
That's Jael. Okay. Otherwise, she'd say it by herself. Huh? Otherwise, she would have said that the victory would come through me and not through you. But she doesn't say that. Right? Fair?
Yeah.
Okay. Next. Yep.
So is the example of deliverance specific because it's specific to Barak?
To Barak, yeah. Yeah. So the Moses type of revelation that came was specific to Barak. The other stuff was just repeating whatever Barak already had heard before. We don't know how. The narrator never tells us. And that happens usually with narratives, right? You don't know every detail. The narrator always seems to be omnipotent. Is that fair? Usually when there's a narrative going on, you never ask the narrator, well, how do you know? The narrator always seems to know. Right? They only tell you what you need to know. They don't tell you anything else. So over here, supposedly, something has happened. We don't know what it is. Barak is supposed to know what he's supposed to do. The narrator knows that, and Deborah knows that, but Barak seems to have forgotten, and Deborah has to remind him what God has spoken about. Yes?
There is still, though, kind of part of it would be on the Israel side, too, though, right? Because it was to shame Israel as well. I think it was for Barak specifically, but also to show how bad it had gotten.
But that is the narrator's message to Israel, not Deborah's message to Israel.
Oh, I see.
Right? You have to tease those two layers apart.
Okay.
So Judges is being written as a message to Israel, and it's talking about Deborah as a message to Israel, but Deborah's message itself was to, right? So yeah, we have to tease the two layers apart. All right. Then Judges 6, verse 8 to 10.
The Lord sent a prophet to the people.
Loud.
The Lord sent a prophet.
Louder.
The Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land."
Okay. Go all the way to 10. Yeah.
And I said to you, "Loud. I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice."
Okay. Over here, it talks about a prophet, but you know what it says? It says, again, a man prophet. It could have said prophet, like it usually does, but calls him a man prophet. So I think there's some connection over here. What do you think? It's not normal. But other than that, what does this man prophet do? Does he do an Aaron type or a Moses type? Aaron type or Moses type? A prophecy.
Aaron?
An Aaron type of prophecy. He's not saying anything new to them that they don't know already. Right? He's reminding them about
what God already did for them.
What God has already done for them.
What verse does it say, man prophet?
The Lord sent a prophet, verse 8.
Okay.
That word prophet, our translators have realized, well, it's weird to say a man prophet. So I'm just going to say prophet. But usually it doesn't have, usually it's just a prophet or a prophetess. So Miriam wasn't described as a woman prophetess. She was just described as a prophetess. So the moment you see words added, you have to ask, what are they trying to communicate over here? Maybe finally they've learned their lesson from up here by then to get to chapter 6, but they still haven't followed the Lord. Yes.
So Miriam was a prophetess. Was she used in the same way as Deborah, that the men didn't listen, and so God had to...
You'll have to read Exodus 15. Exodus 15, the answer is there very clearly. And the answer is no. That's not the reason why.
No?
No, that's not the reason why. That was right after they came across the Red Sea. People just sang the song of Moses. And then Miriam, with the other women, sang to Israel and repeated the first stanza of Moses' song. And it says, Miriam and the prophetess came out with, yeah. All right, yes.
Sorry, just the categorization of these prophecies, it seems with this unnamed prophet here, God is giving him the words to say.
Yes.
Even though the information is old information.
You're correct.
So how do you categorize
Because what he's saying, you have to ask the question, do I have to see something come true in this or not? No. What is the prophet doing? All he's doing is he's just saying, remember what I said to you through Moses, which means the people aren't reading God's word. There's no judge at that time. So there's no shepherd.
But he's still receiving something directly from the
Lord. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Because if someone is opening up Moses and just reading it out, they're not called a prophet. You're absolutely right. They are receiving something from the Lord, but there seems to be repetition of old stuff, which is, I'm going to give you Moses' words and I'm going to put it in your mouth, or I'm going to tell you something new that is based on Moses' words, but you guys never knew this information before. Is that fair? All right, Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 20. We're not going to go through every passage. I'm going to stop. I'm going to fast forward after this one. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 20. He's the last judge. Yeah, 1 Samuel 3:20.
All Israel from Dan, even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was confirmed as a prophet.
Perfect. That word was confirmed is exactly, grammatically, identical to Moses is faithful in my household. So that's Numbers chapter 12 and verse 5. And so the next person that comes along that is compared to Moses is Samuel, again from Levi, from the tribe of Levi, just like Moses, all right? So faithful, he's called a man of God. And then it says, none of the words that he spoke fell to the ground, meaning God fulfilled everything he spoke, which is the test of the prophet, right? Does the prophet speak according to God's word? Yes. Was this man faithful? Yes. And that's why people said he's also a man of God, very much like Moses. Okay. So in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, you don't have to read it. It says the word of God was rare. God didn't really speak to people. And so Samuel doing what he was doing was actually an anomaly. We're going to fast forward to 1 Samuel chapter 10. We're getting close to time. This will be the last passage. 1 Samuel chapter 10. We're going to read from verse 5 to verse 13. If someone could get it quickly.
I
We're not learning anything new now.
Afterward, you will come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it shall be as soon as you have come there to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, and lyre before them, and they will be prophesying, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily, and you will prophesy, and you shall prophesy with them, and be changed into another man. It shall be, when these signs come to you, do for yourself what the occasion requires, for God is with you. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice peace offerings. And you shall wait 7 days until I come to you and show you what you should do. Continue.
All the way to verse 13, yeah.
And it happened when he turned his back to me, Samuel, God changed his heart, and all those signs came about on that day. When they came to the hill there, behold, a group of prophets, men of the Spirit of God, came upon him mightily, so that he prophesied among them. It came about, when all who knew him previously saw that he prophesied now to the prophets, that the people said to one another, what has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets? A man there said, now, who is their father? Therefore it became a proverb. Is Saul also among the prophets? When he had finished prophesying, he came to the high place.
All right. So Saul met Samuel, and Samuel tells him these things are going to happen. Right? Will those things come true? Yes, because Samuel is a true prophet, prophet of God. And he tells Saul, you're going to meet these guys, and they're prophets, and they're going to be prophesying. And you're going to be prophesying with them. What were they doing?
Praising.
They were singing. How do we know that? Yeah, they have instruments. Right? So they're coming down and they're singing and they're playing their instruments. And who joins in with them? Saul joins in with them. Do we know what the content of their prophesying is?
No.
Do we know whether it's a specific or general? No, but we can guess. We could guess, but it's most probably general, right? If they're singing, but we don't know what the content is. So when Saul meets them, what kind of prophesying does he do? He's singing. He joins in with them. It's not rocket science. Is that fair? Right? So prophesying can be singing, prophesying can be praying, prophesying can be giving God's word. And in this case, prophesying was singing. All right. We're done with time. We will continue next week. And that's the last class. So what we're going to do is we're not going to go through every passage, obviously. We're going to go through some tough passages. And then we're going to go through one more passage in Samuel. And then we'll talk about some of the prophets. There are a few passages in the prophets. But what I want us to do at the end of this, our goal is, can we just ask these specific questions? What's the medium? Right? Were they singing? Were they praying? Or were they just declaring God's word? What was the content? Right? Was it specific? Was it general repetition? And what's the type? Is it the Moses type or is it the Aaron type? Right? We just need to ask these two questions. And then we can start classifying prophecies and prophets. Is that fair? All right. Let's close with a word of prayer, and then I'm here for any questions.